The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.
So I'm a former heroin addict. I had to have my arm amputated. There's a shit ton of other stuff, deaths, overdoses. I got shot by a cop, went to prison, all sorts of stuff. He would shoplift shit to survive. I would sell it, and that's basically how we were getting by.
It's a mess.
Gets arrested.
Yeah.
Sure. And then I got shot, basically shoplifting.
Okay.
You were taking part in unarmed robberies?
Correct. Yeah, I did. I didn't have a weapon. I basically got pulled over at a traffic stop shortly after, and then.
Great news for Jim Norton fans. I'm going to do this entire read in the third person to make myself even more hateable. Jim Norton will be appearing in Ridgefield, and then he will also be in Kingston, New York. And you can catch Jim in Salt Lake City, Cleveland. He's really looking forward to London, Manchester, and Birmingham, along with Jim Florentine, the two Jims together. Then Jim is going to be shooting up to Montreal, Ottawa, Toronto. You can catch Jim out in Vegas if you like to gamble. You can catch Jim in Baltimore, Dallas, or Fort Worth. And then, of course, Fargo, Bakersfield, San Diego, Rochester, Denver, Batavia, Illinois, and Portland. More to come, but if you want to see Jim, Jim's looking forward to seeing you. JimNorton.com/tour. Jim, funny.
Jim Norton can save you. Jim Norton is a train wreck. Jim can help you solve your own problems. Jim is an idiot.
Tony, thank you for coming.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
Heck yeah.
I haven't seen you in shorts ever, I don't think.
I know. It's a daytime thing.
It's the casual Tony Hinchcliffe. I love it.
Oh. Yeah, daytime Tony. Chilling.
I also don't think I'm doing Face ID. This is why I'm stopped talking. I'm doing Face ID to open IG. I don't think I've seen you not on a Monday night.
Yeah.
Out of a comedy situation.
So you gotta open Instagram for me.
Oh, God damn it. All right.
Yeah. I don't really, yeah. I just do it every night, and daytimes are pretty chill. I don't even do other people's podcasts. I just love you so much that
Thank you.
Agreed to this.
I'm happy you did it, because I know that I only see you now really on Kill Tony occasionally, on Rogan. Like, I don't see you pop up in many places.
Right. Yeah, I try to keep a low profile. I'm not a big thirsty comedian.
Right.
I like my show promotions as a poster. I like laying low. I don't like that everybody does these videos. Hey, come see me and bye-bye. I can't.
Well, you're in a great position too, because people come see you because they want to come. I'm still in a position where I'm like, I hope somebody shows up. I hope they come. That's all. I'm panicky. You don't want empty shows. I fucking, my agent will sometimes send ticket counts, and in some places they're good. Yeah. And then the other ones, they're so bad, I'm actually checking how many people are on this email that are seeing this. It's humiliating. It's like getting results about your dick from your doctor and then a mass email. You're like, oh, I'm finished.
Yeah, that never ends. I'm still always surprised, and it's crazy. Even the regulars and stuff from Kill Tony, when they come back from a weekend on the road and tell me what they did and how many tickets and this and that, it boggles my mind what's happening. I just love it.
I think you're very underrated, and I've said this, but everyone knows the podcast, but how fast you are. It's like people should talk more about, like, you're one of the fastest comics I've ever heard. And I'm watching you work like that. It's very impressive, because you don't change. You don't overhype it when it's a big crowd. You just do it the same in the mothership as you do at Madison Square Garden. And it's really impressive that you, when people talk about fast comics, you know, your name should be one of the first ones, if not the first one, because it's really lightning quick.
Thank you. That means the world coming from you, because you've been around all the fastest ones, Patrice and Attell and all these monsters.
Yeah, it is crazy. Attell, by the way, did give me one of the biggest laughs I've ever had. It was right after Patrice died, and we all the comics were in studio, and we were trying to raise money or something, and we were all very depressed. And Dave said something about, come on, people, we have to save up money for a, what do you say, a purple suit and a giant coffin. And I'm like, it's like, what a funny motherfucker. He made me laugh at weird times like that.
Oh, he's the best. Even when it just all the time. There's no way to describe him. He's just a fucking freak of nature. It is totally different. Anyone that's around him, I always say, is like funnier for a couple weeks afterwards, because you realize there's all these times where you can be funny.
Yes.
Where we're just not, like me right now, just not being funny.
No, you're talking. But we're having a conversation.
But like, he is just, it's just a whole different thing. You realize there's all these openings and
right.
awkward moments and things where sometimes it's just chill, but with him, it's not. There's just another opportunity for another laugh, even if it's just one other person or two other people or whatever.
He's always funny.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's weird too, because I've talked about this with guys who know him. I don't think I've ever seen Dave Attell eat. Like, it's very bizarre. Like, I've been on the road with him. We've co-headlined gigs. I always wanted him to go up last. I don't have the ego about that.
Yeah.
But he was like, no, you close sometimes too. I was like, oh, panicking. Yeah. And then one time in Boston, he hit traffic and the crowd was getting antsy. So they put me, I was so happy I got to fucking fuck him out of closing. Yeah. But I don't think I've ever seen him eat in all the times I've been on the road with him.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. I don't think I've seen him eat either. He just always has a large coffee and a cigarette with a filter. He's got an interesting filter that he puts on the tip of a cigarette. I don't know what it filters out to where you can smoke them all day.
I don't either. He's like fucking Winston Churchill. It really annoys me. What are you doing, Dave? And I do this thing too. By the way, great job on the Tom Brady. Even on the fucking Tom Brady roast. Like, you literally were sitting there. Like, I just couldn't do it. Like, yeah. I couldn't sit in the audience and just watch and then walk up casually.
Well, that was one of the hardest things I've ever done. That was 2 hours of waiting and watching people do really good.
Yeah.
And you're like, this audience only has so much energy. This is crazy. But I kind of knew that going into it.
Yeah.
They thought the whole thing was going to be, from beginning to end, like an hour, hour and a half. I knew that comedians don't do that, that this was going to be, that a lot of people were going to take an opportunity and that the athletes were going to really take their time and soak in the laughs. So I wasn't surprised, luckily. I was mentally prepared to go up 2 hours in and have to just calmly execute.
Right.
But yeah, it was an interesting thing because
you met Tom.
Well, yeah, of course. But was sitting there for the couple hours, I kept getting dehydrated. Like, my brain was working. I'm trying to think of things. And, you know, you're just riffing in your head, like, what's going to work the best when I'm up there? And I just kept chugging water. And if you see it again, you'll notice that my eyes are just as red as they've ever been. It's like, there was like a...
What do you think it was?
I think it's just nerves or something, or excitement. I don't know.
It didn't show, though. Like I didn't see it, and I looked for that stuff, like, compared to how I would be going up. And just to watch you just walk up, I'm like, I don't know. He just is unfucking flappable. It's a really good quality to have.
Thank you.
I'm up pissing every time. I literally have to fly home tonight because of bad weather, and I'm panicking because I'm going to have to get up and piss. I have to fly premium economy because first of all, it's a whole fucking thing. I panic about everything.
Yeah.
And then I watch you. And again, seeing you in the arena and watching you calmly, because it's not like doing stand-up when you're sitting there. You're going through information. You're firing out lines. And it was the same as watching you in the mothership. And I was really, I don't know if I had told you that, but I was like really blown away by how fucking good you were at doing that.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a blast.
And by the way, that shows you what a non-showbiz shit I am. So did you meet Tom Brady? Good question, stupid asshole, Jim. I am fucking finished.
I barely did. He's in and out. He's just like, he's like Trump or like Elon. He's like one of these guys, you know, again, like Attell. You don't see him eating. You barely see him. You know, it's just like, they just seem like kind of inhuman.
Did you meet Trump? Did you get to meet him?
Eventually, yes, very quickly.
Oh, not in that moment? Yeah.
No, not at MSG.
Isn't it a weird thing, like, because when Matt and I interviewed him for Unfiltered, it was a different thing. He wasn't the candidate yet. It was still crazy Secret Service. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't like it is now. And there's a weird feeling when someone like that walks into the room.
Oh yeah.
Like, isn't it? It's different than, you can't really prepare yourself for it until, did you walk in and see him or did he walk into the room you were in?
He walked into the room that I was in. Yeah. And yeah, just a monstrosity. I mean, it is what it, what you think. He's like 6'5" or something crazy. And that's like to the top of his skull. You add that 3-4 inches of tuft on top of his head, the golden fucking crown that he wears. It's insane.
It really is. They're different in person. Yeah. That you get why people are taken in by people who win elections. Yeah. And I've talked about Bush Sr. You remember Vic? Oh my God, Jesus Christ, Vic Henley. He knew Bush Sr. He used to do these weird benefits. He became friends with George Bush Sr.
Wow.
And he said that when you meet him, you're not meeting this like little lean. Eh. He goes, he's a fucking fighter pilot. He's a 6'4" fighter pilot, and you feel that presence.
Yep.
So I'm always interested in how people react. I keep forgetting to do this. A ChatGPT is not, let's be honest, it's not great. and I've been doing this thing with every guest where I've been roasting. I get a couple of roast jokes and I have ChatGPT do them and I don't read them in advance.
You have ChatGPT roast your guest?
I have like 3 ChatGPT. Like he looks in right to ChatGPT. I'm very lazy. I started with TJ Miller. And let's just see. Yeah, see, this is not great.
I'm a gay alien or something?
It doesn't say that. No, it's too nice. ChatGPT is no, it would be great if there was a little comic in there. Just fuck. Yeah. ChatGPT is too fucking, it's always cutesy.
Oh.
It's always, let's see. Here he goes. Tony Hinchcliffe looks like what happens when AI tries to generate a stand-up comedian but runs out of processing power halfway through. Woof. I mean, there's no teeth in any of these fucking jokes. I really hate it.
Runs out of processing power.
Isn't that awful? All right, here's one more. This is a little harsh. They say you should dress for the job you want, but Tony dresses like a high school kid who just got denied entry to his own prom.
It must have known what I was going to wear today. God. This is just jet black shorts and a hoodie.
Isn't it awful? Acute humor is terrible.
The worst.
It's the worst.
I hate it. You could tell that these programs and these computer things are all made by absolute dorks with no sense of humor whatsoever, because they don't have that ability. So it's not inside of their membrane to do so, but it is to be smart and, seem like a fucking intellectual.
Yeah. And they have HR terror. Yeah. Like the way they write these jokes, they're terrified of saying it wrong. Now, again, Tony and I are probably not qualified to give advice on a lot of things, but if you have a question and we can help you, we will try. If you're sitting there right now with a pistol in your mouth, call someone else, because we're just going to laugh at you.
Or help you.
Or help you mean to actually go through with it.
Yeah.
Look, sir, you got nothing to live for. That mm-hmm. ceiling really needs a brain on it. All right. You're on the phone. What's your name?
Hey there. This is a PJ from St. Louis.
Hey, PJ from St. Louis. What's up?
I wanted to ask you, man. Me, myself, I'm a huge Kiss enthusiast. I spend a lot of money on vintage posters.
Yes, me too.
My wife doesn't like it at all.
Yep.
And I just wanted to know, what's the next step?
I'll be honest with you. I mean, sir, that's a great question. I appreciate it.
What's the next step for Kiss?
We're in this weird addiction. Like when you get older and you start buying shit that you can now afford.
Yeah.
Dude, I've been spending thousands of dollars. I'm not at SiriusXM anymore, so I kind of stopped.
Yeah.
My wife hates it. Like, sir, if you're anything like me, like a lot of times your wife hates it so much her dick goes soft. I understand. Now,
look at the joy on your face with that piece of Kiss art. I've never seen you look so happy before.
Do you know who painted that for me?
Who?
Dani Daniels. She's that beautiful porn star with arguably the greatest ass in history.
Oh, wow.
She's her and her husband Vic are very close friends of ours. And as a wedding gift, she got, she's a great artist, and she did this painting of Kiss for us to stand up. But there's nowhere to hang it, so I just kind of stand it in my fucking hallway. But yeah, I don't know, sir. Why are you collecting? Like, do you collect anything, Tony? You're obviously doing well financially. Are you like a watch guy? Are you have a nice watch on?
Yeah, no. All the watches are gifts and stuff or random pickups. Not really. I just like nice stuff that makes me feel good. I don't know how to put it. I got a new sauna, a cold plunge, a new hot tub. There's like, it's like stuff like that.
Just stuff that you want that you're, is actually going to improve your life.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, as opposed to Four Men in Makeup from 1977. Fucking grown man with tits. I'm getting fat and buying Kiss posters. I am not a catch.
Yeah, I have some wrestling action figures and stuff that is becoming a collection, but I don't really buy them. Again, it's kind of just like spur of the moment gifts, right, or things like that that accumulate.
Is that something for you, like wrestling? Are you a big wrestling fan?
Yeah, especially back when I was growing up. And, you know, I went to one last week. Me and Shane and our crews went to the wrestling here around the corner up in the arena, and we had an unbelievable blast. But
is it weird? Like, these are the things, like for you, it might be wrestling. For me, it's these weird things that no matter how much money you make or how good you're doing, like you feel like a 10-year-old, and it's like that. There's something about that that feels really good.
We had an unbelievable time. It was exactly like feeling young again. It was just, we're rooting along and booing the bad guys and whatever. It's just, unbelievable time. It was crazy.
And you can buy whatever you want there. Like, that's what I love too. Like, if I go to a concert, I can buy any sweatshirt I want. Like, this dumb shit that I wanted to do when I was 14 that I can't do now.
Yeah.
Which is probably what happens when you don't have a family. Like, I have a wife, I'll never have kids. So I just buy sweatshirts and convince myself that I'm really enjoying a flavor of life.
So what kind of Kiss stuff do you have?
Just posters. I only buy posters. I did buy the four dolls as well. They had Kiss dolls. And I did buy them in the boxes. But only posters. I don't collect. You know who's a huge John Five? He was playing with, man, he's playing with Motley Crue now. He's filled in for Mick Mars when he retired. He's a great guitar player. He's the biggest Kiss fanatic on earth, and he goes and buys everything.
Like, you don't play any instruments, correct?
No.
You know, this
some would say that there's a flute that I play, which would be very unkind of them to say that.
I've done a little, I'm obsessed with music, and I do this little poll in my head where if someone's a big, like if they say Kiss is their favorite band, I ask them, do you play any instruments? You do anything musically? And the answer is always no.
Right.
And the reason is because you could tell, you know, who, like, you have to not understand music at all in order to be able to enjoy Kiss.
I had a feeling that's where that was going.
I don't want to ruin anything.
No,
for you.
Not at all.
I don't want your walls to go barren because of this podcast.
No, I totally understand it. That, by the way, that you see the thing that's my favorite thing that I own. It's them in the snow frolicking, signed by all four band members.
And don't get it twisted. I think they're cool, just like how I think pro wrestling is cool. I think the pageantry and putting on a show. I mean, they are basically the pro wrestlers of musicians. It's show. The music isn't really that real.
Interesting. Okay. And I'm a fan of all, but I can understand.
Yes.
Like, I'm a Sabbath fan too.
Yes.
And musically, I do put Sabbath in a different class.
Oh, absolutely.
We have another caller. Hopefully something other than Kiss poster. But you really got us on a roll there, talking about my fucking idiocy. Yes. Make this your best season yet with nutritious 2-minute meals from Factor. 2 minutes. I mean, what can you do in 2 minutes? For me, I can have sex 4 times, or I can make a meal from Factor. Eating well has never been this easy. You heat up, you enjoy, gives you more time to do what you want to do. Getting outside instead of prepping your food all day, Factor meals arrive fresh, they are delicious, and they are ready to eat. Perfect for an active lifestyle or for a lazy person like myself. I don't have an active lifestyle. Why do I like Factor? Because I don't feel like doing the work. 2 minutes, I just want to eat and be done with it. I don't want to prep and chop. You got any onions? Chop. No, I would rather be alone in my office watching things that my wife doesn't like me watching. 45 weekly menu options. You can pick gourmet meals that fit your goals. You can go with Calorie Smart. You can go with Keto, Protein Plus, there's many more. Factor powers your day with satisfying breakfast, on-the-go lunches, premium dinners, guilt-free snacks and desserts. I love these. They're delicious. And more importantly, did I mention 2 minutes? Easy and fast. Factor meals pack in the flavor with none of the fuss. I hate the word fuss, but I'll say it anyway. I love these. I have been eating prepared meals for a long time, and they're delicious. And they do have like lower calorie options, which is kind of what I go for because I've become a fat-bosomed man. So I'm working on it. Get started. My daughter, hey, Taffy, I'm busy. I'm doing a read. Stupid dog. Get started. Factormeals.com/Norton50off. That's NORTON number 50 OFF. Norton 50 off. And use the code Norton 50 off to get 50% off. Wow. 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. That's amazing. Norton 50 off at factormeals.com/Norton50off. 50% off plus free shipping. If you're anything like me, you like things fast, you're lazy, you want delicious food. Perfect. Thank you, Factor.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai. Kosai.org.
Hi, what's your name?
My name is Maxwell.
Hi, Maxwell. Where are you from?
Unfortunately, Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yep. Not a good city for me.
I kill myself here, so this place sucks.
Yes, it does.
No. Anyways, first off, love you both.
Thank you.
I had a question about how do I get back or win back my antisocial personality disordered avoidance ex-girlfriend who's a Mexican Muslim.
Wow. Well, who hasn't dealt with that? Wow. I mean, all three of us, I'm sure, have been through the social Mexican-Muslim breakup. Very difficult. Now, what happens? You broke up with her and you miss her? You just want to get back with her, but she's kind of a difficult woman?
So, I'm 33. I met her when I was 31. Of course, we met off a sugar daddy website. But, yeah, we met, and I was kind of like, knight in shining armor. I got her through med school. We actually somehow had a real relationship. Like, it was cool and real. And then there was just a switch that would flip, like, every 6 to 9 months. It would literally flip to she just is cheating or, pleasing, self-sabotage.
We got the picture,
too. She got an abortion. She abandoned a puppy.
We got the picture. She's a rough rough hang. I understand that. She probably fucks your brains out, though. I've got a weird history with women. Have you... The girls you typically date, are they... I'm sure you've dated some unstable ones that you realize, like, oh,
yeah.
What the fuck am I... Oh, yeah. Are you a guy who goes back to an ex, or do you always, when you're done, you're done?
When I'm done, I'm done, for the most
part. That's the healthiest way to be.
Especially nowadays, you know.
You're
finished. Back when I was, not successful and very, very, very poor and... you know, less hydrated and even scrawnier than I am now, and a higher pitched voice. I would take what I could get.
That's
back
funny.
Then. Nowadays, it's easier to move on because you know something fun's ahead. Let me ask you: living in Cincinnati, how do you meet a Mexican Muslim in Cincinnati? I know Cincinnati well. It's more like, you know, people consider it a city in Ohio, but everybody in Ohio knows it's more like a city in Kentucky. It's very, very white. It's very hillbilly-ish. So what was the Mexican Muslim doing there?
Well, she had to flee her home state because she was a convicted felon, but she still wanted to attend nursing school. So...
Wow.
Damn. Okay.
It's cool here in Cincinnati. They somehow took her.
Of course they did. They need everybody they can get. Let me ask you this question. You're a sugar daddy on a sugar daddy website. What do you do for a living?
I was a Microsoft administrator. I used to work for Meta in the DOD. So I used to be big shot, but, you know, now I don't care about that anymore.
Wow. So you had like a real job. You made really good money. This girl just got you. It happens sometimes. You, especially if you meet them off a sugar daddy website, she's probably going to do what you want to do because she wants the funds. Yeah. So you're going to feel like a fucking $1 million. Like, wow, this is exactly what I wanted. Because somebody kind of learns and molds themselves to what you want.
Right.
Yeah. After six months.
And my problem was, I've dealt with, you know, arrangements before. You know, I used to play poker for a living and always around strippers and nice. I almost talked down about sex workers.
You know, I know but, what you're saying, though.
I've been around the scene, and, like, so that's why with her, I was like, oh, this is actually my wife. Like, I loved her spirit. Like, we would, like, actually hang out. And I actually, it was my first relationship that had an emotional connection with someone before.
Yes.
And to get ripped and taken like that, like, but even with all that being said, it's been a year since the breakup. Mm-hmm. But now I kind of like want to revamp and get her back, or should I just?
I would
say fuck it, never talk to her again.
I mean, well, what do you? My theory is that it's the high of getting the sex worker. Like there is, it's like when vampires, they don't bite other vampires because they say it will be so great that they'll only want to kill a vampire. The high will be too much. So when you're, if there's a sex worker and she all of a sudden likes you, I mean, that's, you're really, you must be special.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You must be great. That's a real drug to try to get someone to leave sex work for you. And believe me,
yeah,
I've been down that road before. What do you think?
Well, you're kind of like a computer programmer. I'm picturing, what are you running, about 5'8", 5'7", there?
5'11", 250. Oh. I can deadlift 500 pounds.
Oh, my God.
And I'm totally gay.
You're a big boy. What's your cardio like? 250 is a lot to lug around.
Right now, Stairmasters.
Uh-huh.
Just 20 minutes of cardio on Stairmaster. I used to do half marathons and all that fun stuff.
Well, I think the guy that she cheated on you with is probably running full marathons, right? A little bit better cardio. She's probably getting that scratch itched that you couldn't get to with your meta DOD, you know, poker playing history. Do you happen to know was it a big black man that she cheated on you with?
I would actually say no.
You would say no, but what's the answer? Trader.
I would say nah.
I'd say all hell nah.
I kind of hope so. That would make a lot of sense, but she came back to me, so that's kind of why I don't think it was.
Well, that would have made sense for her to come back to you because that's not a that type of sugar daddy doesn't have the sugar that you're looking for.
That's right.
Diabetic, those people have. You have that sugar money that she's going to need. What was your last communication with her?
So we lived in Washington State together. Then I got pulled back to Ohio in December, and then a month later, we kind of like started reconnecting again. And then I left, when I moved back to Ohio, I left my car in Washington State. So, and I had it with a friend, but then she came in and was like, oh, I'll take care of your car. You can come visit me. And then, of course, she got my car towed or whatever the fuck she did with it. And then,
sir, let her go.
Yeah, that was January last year.
Let her go.
Yeah.
Let her go.
No doubt about it. I wish there was a more brilliant approach that we could give you. This is a convicted felon jumping across state lines to be able to do what she needs to do to get to the next level. Did she end up getting that education in Cincinnati that she moved there to get? Did she graduate?
Oh, absolutely. Got the master's, and now she's fully employed and doing the thing. So,
well, you know what? Maybe now that she...
I almost feel like a proud father.
Doesn't this sound like the type, and thank you for the call, sir. I appreciate your call. Doesn't this sound like the type, though, where she gets the degree and then all of a sudden he starts to notice his omelets taste funny? And it's one of those fucking Forensic Files things where she's been injecting succinylcholine into his omelet.
Yeah.
And then she smothers him when he can't. There's some weird shit. I wouldn't judge. Stay the fuck away.
Yes, absolutely.
Have you ever, the hardest one, was there one in your life that you just had a really hard time? There's been a couple. Without, like, I just kind of kept going back to and then eventually just stopped.
There was a time where very early on I moved someone into my apartment, which was a tremendous mistake. I had always heard, you know, whatever you do, don't let someone move in. And I'm like, what the hell? This is going to be awesome. You just get to bang all the time and like hang out and fall asleep and cuddle. This seems great. And it was a long, long time ago. And couldn't get it out. All of a sudden you're like, hey, mm-hmm. this isn't working. So, you know, what do we got to do?
Yeah.
And it took forever, 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 forever.
Was it an angry break? The angry ones are the hardest, but sometimes at least they're final. It's the ones who just want to cling and try. No, but I'll just.
Right. Oh. Yes. And it never ended. It was a continuous, maybe we could make it work type of thing. And, you know, if it's there, if there's a girl there living with you,
sure.
it's better than jerking off. So you kind of are just like, all right, I guess I'll fuck it again. And then
sometimes it's better than jerking off.
Right.
Other times being married, dude, I love the road. I literally just love being alone in my hotel
yeah.
and looking at fucking the porn. I look at escort ads. I don't get it just to see who's in town.
Right.
I like to see who's around.
The excitement of it all. It's like looking out the window.
It is. It's like I'm reminded that this old lion can still roar, but I don't. Just jerk off with my little fat paws. All right, who's on the phone? Hello, you're on with you're on with the great Tony Hinchcliffe and Jim Norton. How are you?
Hey, Jim. Hey, Tony. This is Ryan from Edison.
Hey, Ryan. That's where I was. I grew up in Edison on Fox Road.
Oh, I know. I know it.
Okay.
So I need a little advice from you.
Sure.
I've been dating this girl about 2.5 years.
Okay.
Recently, in a joking conversation, it came up that, you know, yeah, I like to jerk off the porn every now and then. Mm. And this led to mass hysterics from her.
Ooh.
I can't believe you. How could you do that? How could you see other girls in that sexual way?
You should have said, no, it's not girls, it's animals. I watch people fucking animals.
that couldn't have made the situation any worse, I'll tell you that.
Oh,
it was that bad for jerking off to porn?
That bad. I'd like, you know, both of you to weigh in for me here. It's, you know, I said, yeah, I'll stop, but I'm not going to stop a couple days a week. We don't live together. She stays over maybe
sure.
4 days a week.
But you know what it is?
Maybe another day or two, I'm watching porn.
That's not uncommon. Like, a lot of women don't, like, if a woman said that she watched,
really?
No guy I know would ever give a shit, but a lot of women are like, they just are grossed out by it or they feel threatened by it.
Does she, have you
really?
Talked with her? Does she pleasure herself in any way whatsoever?
She does. She does, allegedly, to pictures of me.
Oh
get
no,
the fuck
doesn't.
Out of here. That's the biggest lie ever.
As soon as you leave, she puts on BET and grabs a yam.
To pictures of
much more
you.
Please don't tell me you believe that.
This lady, if that's true, this lady's
anymore,
nuts.
She's nuts. If that is true,
yeah.
If she's playing with herself, looking at like old photo, old Polaroids of you,
yeah.
She's crazy. And get rid of her anyway.
Does she happen to be a Mexican Muslim living in the state of Washington?
Yeah, did you just pick her up while she was on the rebound? Some giant lug computer breaker? All right, well, I would say
helpful.
Keep watching porn and don't let her talk you out of it. It's not unhealthy if you're watching once in a while.
I appreciate that, Jimmy. That's the answer I was looking for.
Of course. We knew what you wanted.
Do you make her come?
Yes. Are you still there?
Do you make her come, sir? Do you make her come?
Oh, of course. Sometimes.
Is that what she tells you, or do you feel it? Do you believe it?
I believe it more often than not. I'm not going to sit here and say every single time, but more often than not.
When she says that she masturbates to pictures of you, does she say what she's doing? Yeah. Is she using her fingers, a vibrator? Has she told you what she uses?
Yeah, it's usually a mixture of both, a toy and fingers.
See, what's interesting? This is where things get interesting. Now, the vibrator... Once they get used to that vibrator, they can really get used to that vibrator.
That's right.
There's been some situations where a girl will say, you know, I don't really, I just come to the vibrator. And it's like, I ask, oh, how often do you do that? And it's like, you know, I'm sexually active, you know, a few days a week, blah, 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 blah. So they kind of, what's interesting is that, you know, a girl can put themselves in position to only be able to come from a vibrator, whereas a guy jerking off with his hand, obviously a warm hole is always going to be better than a hand. I don't know. It's a bit of a predicament. I think that you guys could meet in the middle here. You tell her the vibrator goes in the trash and you use all natural and I will dwindle down my porn usage by 50%. I think the negotiations
there you go. It's very, and then you lie, of course, and continue watching it. And then she's just kind of playing with herself and her fucking getting carpal tunnel syndrome because she can't keep up with what the vibrator did.
Either way, it's a win-win for you.
Well, you're right. Once they're into the vibrator, you can't compete with that.
Yeah.
No human tongue or fingers can mimic that motion.
It's true.
Correct.
Yep.
Well, you've both been enlightening.
Of course we have, sir. That's why you called us. Thank you very much. Godspeed. Good luck to you and your gal.
All right, Jimmy. Masturbated
to pictures. You know what it was? If he would have said, she said, oh, no, she just fantasizes. But it was the idea that she said pictures of him.
Like you see her holding a frame up in the air.
Just diddling furiously, looking at a picture of him with a fucking fishing pole in his hand. Delusional. Who's on the phone for Tony and Jim?
Hello.
What's your name?
It's Russ, the psychopath from yesterday.
What's up, buddy?
Yeah, Long Island.
Oh, Russ from Long Island.
So I had a question. Yeah, you know, great guy.
Yeah.
So I had a question for Tommy.
Go ahead.
So two of my Canadian friends and I started a, it's called the Hamburger Club. I don't know where the name came from. But it's a show we've been putting on, and it started at like 20 people, and now we're on our seventh monthly show, and we're now at our like third venue switch because we're getting like between 50 and 70 people. And like working since we're on Long Island, like you started in the belly room, like you had like an iconic spot, which is awesome. We don't really have that. So we're just trying to like deal with random music holes and shit like that. I know you don't live on Long Island, but like, do you have advice on how to,
it's a stand up show you're doing?
So the best way I can describe it, it's like Kill Tony meets Jeopardy. Like we have an entire setup with like three buzzers and the whole, because my buddy's an event designer. So funny answers get points. Like there's three rounds, each one with three comedians. And then at the end, the fourth round, the winner of the initial rounds and whatnot. And like there's, you know, stand-up dips throughout.
Yep.
Okay, it's a game show.
I got it. So, yeah. Well, my advice is, even though I don't live on Long Island, it would be to do it weekly instead of monthly and start banging them out. It'll keep you guys sharp and keep you getting better at it and making little adjustments to the show that you need to make. Find a absolute rock solid venue that doesn't have to be a giant theater or a world famous comedy club or anything. Find a bar with low ceilings or a music venue with low ceilings and pick a time slot and a day of the week that no one else wants and that no one else is going to bother you or bump you out for. And start banging them out and getting really good at it and building a following. When you do a show monthly, people aren't going to go, hey, is it the third Wednesday?
Right.
You know, that I always tell everybody that's just the ego that it takes to think that people are going to write down on their calendar when your monthly show is like, it's much tougher to pull that off than to go, hey, these people do a thing Wednesdays at 7, every Wednesday at 7, or Wednesdays at 5, or Wednesdays at midnight. Like the time or the day of the week or even where doesn't matter as much as doing it absolutely consistently so that people have it in their head, because people want to do fun things too. And if they can remember when, where, and what it is, then they'll do it. That was that's why I asked for Mondays at 8 p.m. in the belly room. Back then, it was a closed room. Everybody goes, well, you started at a world famous comedy club that was filled up. It's like, no, it wasn't. That room sat dark and empty, and I picked it because I knew I couldn't get bumped off. Bill Burr's not going to pop in on a Monday in the belly room. So we were able to do something consistently. And so, yeah, there you go.
And it's also your show, too. What I've noticed, like all the little things that become, like when you make somebody a golden ticket all these things that become these staples of the show, the whole thing's like a happening.
Yeah.
Like doing it every week, I think I don't want to say a sense of community because I would really have to fucking put my face through a window if I said that. But whatever other way to say that there is, it's this thing that we're all doing together. It's like a group thing and it becomes an event. It's just like, I don't know. I think that all these little regulars returning and it becomes like a family thing. People know everyone involved.
It really does. And you know, it's always happening at the clubs and stuff, but no one ever gets to see it. You hear of a comedian that you've known for a year or two getting passed at a place, but it's never been like kind of in the public eye, or someone that just came in that night and got passed to be able to work regularly on a thing. Sometimes it happens their first time there, and that's how it is with this. We're just kind of showing it. I always wanted Kill Tony to kind of be like the back of a comedy club with the comedians whispering to each other like what they really think about what's going on, but just kind of in front of everybody. So yeah, it's fun to get to show it off and to grow it. Like I said, I went to pro wrestling last week, and to see the correlations between the two in like real time of how excited you can be about somebody who you didn't even know existed 5 minutes earlier. And you're like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Like there was this gay tag team. And I don't know if they are like really gay, but they are just two feminine seeming current wrestlers. And I assumed when they came out, there they are.
Billy and Chuck.
No, these are the new ones. I think that's them.
Pretty Deadly.
Yeah, Pretty Deadly. And I had never seen them before. And they're wearing like fucking, it's basically like a bra, but with sleeves. And I'm like, oh, I get it. Because we're, where it's SmackDown, it's on Fox or NBC or whatever it's on now. They're always switching around. But anyway, and when they came out, I'm like, oh, these have to be, the gay good guys, I bet, of course, right? Like, they got to be good guys because they're gay and it's 2025 or whatever. But sure enough, they were like villains, and I kind of loved it.
Yeah.
It's hilarious because they're taunting and just being, bad gay guys. It's hilarious.
And who even knows if they are? I love the fact that, like, when you talk to these guys, cause I'm sure you've talked to plenty of them, and it's like, oh, they're nothing.
Oh, they're definitely not gay. Yeah, exactly. That's always how it works.
That's the funny part.
Yeah.
I wish I liked wrestling more. Oh, we have another caller? I stopped watching when I was a kid, and I wish I got into it because there's so much content. Like, there's so much. It's a great hobby or love to have because there's so much of it. And you can immerse yourself in it all day if you want.
But my point is like, it's incredible how the never ending, there's always a new storyline or someone that you're rooting for or keeping up with. Like the Kill Tony and the wrestling worlds kind of really correlate because it's all year long. It's every single week. It's every Monday night as well. And some big arena events here and there. And and I'm part of a gay tag team with Brian Redband.
Dude, he's also a very funny bastard. Yeah. I mean, great timing, sound poorly timed. You nailed him. The last time I was on this show, you hit him with something. It was really funny. He did something. He said something that bombed, and you just called him out on stopping the flow, and you could just see him. He was just so deflated.
He plays into it really well.
It was very funny.
He's laughing his way all the way to the bank. Oh, I promise
course.
You that.
Of course. But it was very funny, your dynamics with him.
It's been forever. I mean, we are truly the most, we probably are the most married couple in podcasting other than maybe Tom and Christina or something like that. But I think we've been, it's just been a lot.
And you have good people around you though. Yeah. Yoni, like all the guys running around behind the scenes know what they're doing. It's great to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an unbelievable team. Anything less, they just, it's just perfect. It's so rock solid, and everybody's always learning and growing, and there's a huge positive energy around it. All that good corny hippy dippy stuff.
But it does feel good when it's like positive. Like, nobody wants to hear about positive energy. Like, people talk about it, like, shut up. But when you're doing something, that's what you want around. Yeah. Like, you don't need to be. I watched the Garden Show. I mean, I was on it, but watching it be put together as far as the production team.
Yeah.
Fucking perfect.
Yeah.
Like, they really did a good job. Everyone was in a good mood. No one was shitty. Nobody wants to be around some shithead who's always in a bad mood.
Right.
It's just, it's too much.
And we've eliminated the executives from this whole thing by doing it ourselves. So there's just no excuse. If everything's going good, everybody should be having the time of their damn lives. It was like a comedy family reunion at Madison Square Garden.
It was great.
It was just, I've never seen anything like it. It was just such a party.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai. Kosai.org.
And yes, you're on the phone, mister. You're talking to Tony and Jim. Hello.
Hi. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, sir. What's your name?
Oh, I'm Prashant. Or you can call me P if that's easier.
P or T?
P as in like penis.
Okay, perfect.
Oh, there we go.
Yes.
I'm sorry, that was so stupid, but.
Okay.
I called.
All right, sorry, P. I'll just call you BBC. Really all right. Yes, P.
Well, I guess my dilemma is, right now, I just graduated from a decent university, and I'm jobless, which is crazy. But in the meantime, I've always wanted to do comedy, and like a few days ago, I had my fourth open mic, and it went really well for not being as experienced.
Yep.
But my dilemma is, I want to do comedy, correct?
Yes.
But there's also another part of me, kind of like Severance, you know, like the job you and the outside version of you. Well, there's a dilemma where I want to pursue comedy, but I can't risk like losing the potential of having like a wife, kids, and a.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry, pursuing comedy is not the same as getting AIDS. you're just a little busier, that's all.
Just because I decided to do both doesn't mean you have to immediately get AIDS while starting comedy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I got rid of it soon after I got it, thank God. But you're not giving everything up by doing comedy?
Well, that's true. But for example, I've applied for like 800 job applications and only got two phone calls back.
Exactly. You know? You have nothing to offer.
Yeah.
And being and it's like kind of like a dilemma with me because, for example, like when I got into a good program at my university, I'm Indian, so my parents were so happy.
Sure.
But the last thing I want to do is like tell them I want to pursue my passion because then they'll think I'm gay.
Well, if that's what they think, because you're out doing stand-up, then I would say that's really, you're a very judgmental parent. Maybe because you're holding the mic and it's shaped like a dick. How about this? Just don't rub it on your face or talk far away from it and go, God, Dad, I hate that thing. It looks like a dick. And he'll be like, well, at least my son is straight. I would say, what do you think, Tony? I would say, and thank you for the call. I appreciate
it. If you applied for 800 jobs and only got two callbacks, your Indian parents already think you're gay. they could not be more disappointed in you. You graduated from an accredited university and something's wrong on your resume, dude. If you're an Indian guy that only got two callbacks
on
800 applications, that means you're missing something massive, massive at the top of your resume. Something is terribly wrong that you just haven't noticed yet.
You're right. This guy really is acting like the world is his oyster. It's not. Yeah. Sir, you have very limited options. If you've gotten two calls, you're absolutely right. You have not many options. So pursue comedy. Who cares what your fucking parents think?
Yeah.
How do your parents feel about your life?
Oh, they're thrilled.
They are, right?
I should be a waiter, a floor mopper in Youngstown, Ohio right now. So they couldn't be happier.
Which is a tough area. People like who aren't familiar with your backstory have no idea like the place you come from or what your life was like growing up. But you didn't have this pleasant, joy-filled upbringing.
Quite the opposite. And yeah, it's very not reported on. It's kind of crazy how little's known about Youngstown, especially when I grew up there. Now it's been so long since its nuclear dilapidation that, you know, now it's not even that big of a news story. Memphis gets a lot of the credit now, like cities like that, where it's like, you know, it is the current murder I think Memphis is the current per capita murder capital and all these things. But back when I grew up there, it was there, and they told us on the news, you know, nightly, like it's bad. Yeah, Jackson, Mississippi. Chicago gets a lot of credit, but Chicago's a huge city.
Yeah, and it's more gangs. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, it was crazy. Yeah.
Did you fight a lot growing up?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah, a lot. Yeah. It was a huge thing all the time.
Were you bullied, then you're like, fuck this, and you learn how to fight?
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot. It was getting bullied, getting beat up, and then you just kind of yeah, go along with it. I had four older brothers and sisters, wow, much older than me too, like 12 years and 16 and 18 and 20 years older than me. So like the physical part wasn't really the bad part. I was always a decent fighter, even though I was a scrawny, scrappy kid. Yeah, just the negativity of it all. You know what I mean? The actual like verbal stuff.
Right.
And that's where the roaster came from. But before it was just literally like, hey, fuck this guy. I gotta, you know, if he comes at me, I gotta make fun of him.
Yeah, it's funny too, because again, that's because I tell people all the time how fast you are, and that does also come to like when you're from a bad neighborhood and it's, you know, there could be problems. Sometimes that gets you out of it, and people don't want to fuck with a funny guy because nobody wants to be embarrassed socially growing up.
Exactly, and that's totally where all this stuff started. It's like when you know, I picked up golf during the pandemic. And really? Yeah, which it was just a way to get outdoors and kind of fucking not sweat too much.
Yeah, but do kind something.
Of get some fresh air. And what I learned from golfing is, first of all, it's hard as fuck. And second of all, the most out of shape, nerdy, whatever people can be great at it if they started very, very young.
Yeah.
Like you'll find a fucking whoever, like Ron White fucking, you know, had been drinking and smoking and rocking for fucking whatever, 6 decades. But he started golf when he was a little kid, like his mom or dad or whoever got him into it. And he's fucking unbelievable. Like, it's like watching a master.
Oh, he's a great golfer.
Oh, it's crazy. I mean, you see just a smooth swing and you see the ball just go straight towards that damn hole, right in the arc and the distance, and lands it and rolls it from so far away. And it's one of those things that if you start early, you just have a blatant advantage. And in golf, you can see it, right? You can see it. You can feel it. It's a physical ball going near a hole.
Yeah.
Whereas with making fun of people, I think it's the same thing. I mean, I'm sure there's people that got good at it later or whatever, or kind of learned it. But if you start young, it's the same with wrestling, actual like high school wrestling too. The guy might not look like the toughest guy, but if he started young, he knows the technique and the smoothness of it all to be able to crush you.
You're right. People who are funny, like for that, like reactionary funny, a lot of times it is for that reason, and you do usually start young.
Yeah.
You know, somebody who just starts when they're 19, I'm sure is fine, but they probably don't have that same. Mm-hmm. I've seen you say things to people that were so, I remember the time I was on the episode that Rogan and Tucker came on, and afterwards Tucker was backstage. He was going, he's so fast.
Yeah.
He couldn't believe the speed your brain worked at while you're just casually jotting. It really is crazy to watch. Like you're just writing down these little things, but your brain's like, it's fun to observe that.
Yeah.
I hit that joke. I just went, how does a man who does comedy for a living not vocalize something better than that? That's how my fucking uncle would describe it.
I have to write little things down. People ask me a lot what I'm writing down, and it's so that I don't ask the same thing twice, because I am moving so fast that sometimes I will go back to something. How long are you doing stand up? And someone will be like, well, you already asked that. It's 4.5 years. So I started just jotting things down in the quick interview parts so that I literally don't go so fast that I go backwards.
And ask the same question.
Yeah.
Have you ever felt bad? Like, because sometimes if I say something, I'm like, oh, I wish I hadn't. Have you ever done it and then afterwards went, oh, man, why did I say that?
Not really. If I do something kind of regretful or weird on that show, because we do so many of them and have been doing it for so long that it just adds a different flavor or something to it that, you know, and it's just me learning and readjusting the parameters of where we're going and what we're doing. And
it's crazy how it's launching people. Like, you must feel good about that. Like, it's like you're doing something tangible. Like, it's very fair. Like, people go up, and before the show, Tony will talk to whoever it is. I've done it before. I did it with Adam last time, who's really fucking brilliant and funny.
Yeah.
And we both have done it, Adam, 1,000 times. And you say, like, okay, remember, don't interrupt. Like Tony tells everyone every time, make sure that the guest does their minute. Like, you're giving everyone a fair shot.
Yeah.
And I love that we can't interrupt the guest, because everyone gets the 1 minute,
yeah,
no matter how bad they're doing or good. It's very, very diplomatic. And I think they get a fair shake afterwards time.
Oh, totally. I mean, I want... Hey, look, the one we did on Monday, everybody except for like one guy early on in the episode did great.
Yeah.
Great sets and great interviews. And that's a perfect episode. I mean, that's how I want it to be. People are like, you know, some people will think, I don't know, it seems roasty or mean. And it's like, yeah, maybe the clip that you saw, like,
right.
There's hundreds and hundreds or thousands of hours out there of the show where we're helping people. And yeah, if the person's an asshole or especially just isn't answering questions, kind of like honestly, uh-huh. like giving us something yeah. to work with. Like if they're not funny, that's fine. But at least don't try to look cool or be corny in the actual interview part. Like, what do you do for work? Like, what do you think I do for work?
Yeah.
Like, oh, God. What's wrong with you?
And I've also seen bad sets turned around by funny interviews. Like, guys all totally. Of a sudden have... I was on the one in Vegas, and there was one guy who didn't do that well, but he was a funny person,
yeah.
and his questions and answers were all funny.
Yeah.
So he turned it around, and everybody kind of liked him.
And those are always the ones with the most potential and that end up popping off later on. It's the people that can only do a good minute and then can't really play along or give you honest answers. The people that want to look cool before being funny. It's
right.
like, be funny and that's cool.
Is there anyone who blew you away though? Because there's been so many regulars that have gone on to these great things. Like they're headlining. Is there any of them that you're like, that's the guy that blew me away the most, or the woman the first time?
Well, they're all so different. It's all different, like weight classes, kind of. And, you know, William paved the way for so many people. And now Cam Patterson and Ari Matty and all these guys are just taking the ball and really running with it. Casey Rocket's a superstar. Hans Kim is, you know, a joke writer,
yes.
wordsmith kind of guy. Martin Phillips with his cerebral palsy just absolutely slams comedy. David's one of the best roasters anywhere.
Fiona Cawley is very funny.
Yes, Fiona's the shit. So great. Such a great delivery system and story. Michael Lehrer, who passed away from ALS.
Did I know Michael Lehrer? Was he in a wheelchair?
Yes.
We might have had him on Jim and Sam at one point. My memory is just going, but I think I knew he was funny.
Unbelievably fantastic. A brilliant mind, and we were really, really close. He was one of the first people to move here. He was like 2 weeks behind me.
Really?
He did not want to miss a single episode. I don't think he did. I think he was on the first episode in Austin here. And so, yeah, it's just the whole crew, everybody, the extensions of it all, from the band, watching the band blow up and them.
Yeah.
You know, I talked to the horn players, told me a couple days ago that they were doing shows, a football stadium with Keith Urban or whatever. And people are yelling, kill Tony.
Oh, nice. You know?
So, yeah, it's just, I love it. It really helps. And stand up, it's such a one man sport that
yeah.
knowing that that's my way of helping people. It's my kind of like having kids or whatever, if you will. You
right.
know, it's helping these guys. And that's what I'm into, is talking about stand up and having fun after the shows, talking about, you know, what we're doing and where we're going and what's next and everything. So, yeah, it's fun.
All right, we'll get to a couple more calls as we head towards our end here. Who's on the phone for Tony and Jim? I this is what annoys me about me, because I'm just keep saying with Tony and Jim. Everyone knows. Who's on the phone? Forget the fucking exposition. What's your name?
Hey, what's up, Joe from Philly? How's it going, boys?
Hey, Joe, what's up, buddy?
So I need this is pretty easy advice for you guys. I'm trying to plan a trip to New York. Me and my girlfriend, she lives down in Connecticut. I'm in Philly. We're going to see Soda up there and then heading down to New York. I need some advice on where to stay, which clubs to go to. I already know I'm going to the stand to see Story Wars and Legion Skanks. I would love some more advice on where else to go.
Well, I would say the Comedy Cellar.
Spots, maybe.
Comedy Cellar, but I can't recommend a hotel. I'm not Yelp. I mean, I don't
Well, maybe Tony can, because
Sir, you're not going to afford the same hotel as Tony Estate.
I'm sure going to New York.
All right, Tony, I'm going to get the Peninsula suite.
Yeah. I stay at the one connected to Madison Square Garden. They have a performer's suite there. I could talk to my people for you, sir, since you're coming the long drive from Philly.
Do they really have that?
No. Oh, I'm kidding.
Oh, again, gullible fucking loser.
It's covered in Kiss posters. It is so cool.
I really, you know what? I'm going to come down and ask him if I can do 1 minute. What a boob. Do they really, Tony? Oh, I should be beaten to death.
How far of a drive? Isn't Philly close to New York?
Hour 20 maybe.
Well, going up to Connecticut.
This guy's talking about it like he's flying across the world.
Yeah, what do I do there? What are they like? What's the weather like?
You could go home and stay in your place and then go back the next day.
It's the same as where you live. So exactly. You have to drive up and do it the same night. The same as where you live with little less race rioting. That's exactly it.
It's gonna be fun though.
Sir?
That's it.
What, I mean, what do you want?
Yeah, Comedy Cellar and look for a hotel. Do I know any hot spot? Do I look like a hot spots guy? I go to the fucking cellar every night and I go home. That's all I do.
Where should I stay when I go to Philly?
At my house.
All right, sir. Thank you very much for the call.
I'm staying at his place next time I go to Philly.
You know, because when he said that, like when he said, do you stay at my place? First thing I thought it was Mick Foley. Mick Foley, who is a notoriously pinch penny guy.
Yes.
And he'll tell you that.
Yeah.
We used to crash on fans' couches.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
But I would never stay. Like, I wouldn't stay at your house, and I know you. I'm weird at people's house. Well, maybe I would, but I'm weird at people's houses.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like being in someone's space. I don't know how you do it to a stranger.
Yeah. No. Yeah. That's completely insane. I can't stand it if there's people that I, you know, when you're going to your hotel room in the lobby, it's like, okay, now they know. They know I'm here.
Yeah.
And if they follow you to the elevator, then they know what floor you're on. So now it's your odds of.
That's right.
Yeah.
Have you had it at all? Like, I mean, obviously we all stay under fake names, but have you had any weird moments?
Not really. Not really. You know, you just say hi to people and if you run into them in the thing and quick little meet and greet and then that's it. But no, nothing too crazy.
Yeah. Comics seem to get it as much. I don't know why. Maybe because we're more open, so people feel like they know more about us. I don't know what the answer to that is. I'm sure Joe deals with it and certain other guys, but yeah, I haven't had any real.
Yeah, no, it's good. But I would never stay at people's houses. My God.
Under any circumstance. Not even if it was the only option because of some sort of an attack. Yeah. I wouldn't stay at somebody's house.
That's a whole nother level of penny pinching.
Yeah, but Mick Foley would. I love Mick Foley.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Have you talked to him?
Of course, yeah. No, the best. We used to have the same agent, and I did a show with him when he was doing his storytelling stuff. So naturally funny, so unbelievably cool and amazing, and a legendary pro wrestler. I mean, just
those guys are all good storytellers. They're all good talkers because they're on the mic all the time.
In the round, in arenas.
Yeah.
Multiple days a week. It's crazy. And Mick, that's so funny that he would stay at people's houses. I never even heard that before.
Just to save money. And we were talking one time about something, and we were talking about the price of like these eggs at a hotel. And he's like, I would never spend them. And it's like some guys get, like, I'm not crazy with money, but some guys really, maybe it's from the way they grew up, but are really upset. It's like a form of OCD, I
think. Yeah, did you get to work with Gilbert Gottfried closely?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. I had always heard stories about him pinching pennies. And then we were both in Toronto, I think it was, doing a morning news show. We were at two totally different venues. I was at the local comedy club. He was in a theater at the time. And they put us in a green room together. And there's a bowl of candy that's on the table. And as soon as I walk in, he's putting candy in his pockets out of this thing, like filling his pockets. And after we do the thing, we're back in the green room because they're taking the microphones off us or whatever. And he's putting more candy in his pockets. And one of the production assistants says, you know, if you want, I could probably track down a bag and you could put the candy. You could take some of the. I mean, it's a giant bowl, by the way. It's like a fucking so much candy. And he goes, oh, I thought you'd never ask. She brings a bag. She brings a bag and he dumps the bowl of candy into a bag, walks over to the cooler, opens it, starts putting bottles of water and cans of Coca-Cola in the bag. It was like watching, I don't even know. It's like watching something that you've heard about forever, like this like rumor, and just watching it to be true. It was like watching, I don't know, it was like watching Cosby literally like break up pills over people's drinks.
You're it's like watching the motion of his fingers sprinkle. Like, how would he rub the fingers together? Yeah, you're seeing something you've only heard about or wondered about.
Yeah, it's like watching OJ take off a bloody glove or something. Like, it's just like, whoa, there it is, iconic.
It is funny, too, that she, I would drop him off sometimes because when I was driving and I had my car down there, but I would see him at the cellar all the time, and he'd just be sitting upstairs drinking a giant thing of wine. And I was asking, are you going to go on? He'd go, I don't know. He was so sheepish. Mm-hmm. And he'd, very quiet. And he would just like to come in and get some free wine and would always just walk out. I did Artie. You remember Artie Lang and Nick DiPaolo had a show on it was Dish Network. It was like a sports show, but it was a video. They had a great giant studio. Mm-hmm. And I was on the week after Gilbert one time, and they said that he had taken all the Keurig coffees, and it might have been like he tried to take the machine, or they took like the whole thing of, it was something he did where the producers, I think, wanted to ban him from coming back.
Yeah,
it was egregious.
Oh yeah,
it wasn't a few pieces of, it was
advantage. He would take a pillow from here if he was doing this show. He's going, can I keep the headphones?
He really would keep anything. Yeah. But he was a really nice guy too. It wasn't out of malice. It's like an OCD thing with his hoarding products and things.
Oh, and also he was funny enough to be able to do that. Anytime it was his moment, he would just come alive. I was on a couple roasts with him. I did that news thing with them. I mean, all throughout, he was a guest on Kill Tony at the Gramercy Theater in New York one night. And every time I've ever seen that man do anything, he would go and just absolutely decimate in his allotted time and moment. And then he would snap right back out of it. Like you said, sheepish, like very calm and cool. You'd almost think beforehand, before the taping or the show or the roast or whatever, you'd be like, man, I wonder if he's okay. That's not the Gilbert that I see on TV or whatever. And then just boom. And to watch the switch was like incredible. There's not many guys like that, especially I think in this modern podcast age where you kind of just exist being funny, which I really don't. Like I said, like on podcasts, like right now, I'm just, you know, I'm like I don't know why I need like five people.
No, but it's a conversation. It's perfect.
Need like a few people over to the side for me to kind of like want to be funny. Sure. I don't know what it is, but most guys nowadays, again, like in this universe are just funny. Right. And he was like such a throwback, I guess, or something, where he was just a normal, like, old, sensitive, cool guy, and then he turned into, oh my god, he's ruthless, he's one of the best roasters, comedians,
fucking, and barbaric.
Yes. Oh, unbelievable. We had him on an episode of Kill Tony, which unfortunately somehow our videos all got destroyed from that night, and only that, but we have the audio from it, and it crushes me that video of all the tapings we ever did, probably 700 some or whatever we're up to. It's the only time ever that we lost the video footage, and it crushed.
Was it like a corrupted hard drive or one of those stupid things? Yeah.
Yep.
Before you have a chance to back it up, it corrupts and you're fucked. Yeah.
And it was one of the greatest honors, especially, you know, we never announce who's coming or who the guest is. So it's just always great comedy fans. And they can always tell, especially from my, you know, again, pro wrestling background style intros that I like to give. I'll say it. I've always wanted this guy, and he's a New York icon. Ladies and gentlemen, Gilbert Godfrey. And it was just so magical and amazing.
You do give great intros, too. Like, because comics, a lot of times, we get to be too jaded and afraid to, like, say something nice about somebody or, like, not be ironic. And, like, you just give... there's no shame in it. It's just fun. Like, you give really good intros to people. And in an arena, it meant a lot. Like, you know, you want a good intro in an arena.
Yeah,
you don't want some fucking wry idiot giving you, well, he's pretty good, if you're like, you know, you want like an actual intro.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a basement in New York, you know what I mean? Where it's kind of like, if you know, you're going to like this next guy, very funny guy. Da, 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 da. It's like, you got to...
talk it up.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's do one more call.
Yeah.
Hello. You're unmuted talking to Tony and Jim.
Hey, what's up, folks?
What's your name?
I'm Jono.
Hey, what's up, buddy? Thanks for calling.
What's going on, guys? So I don't even know which issue to begin with. So I'm a former heroin addict, probably about 12 years. And that in itself just kind of initiated a shit ton of problems. But I would say the biggest one that's kind of affecting my life today is, and it was kind of the last thing that finally kind of kicked me in the ass to get clean, was I had to have my arm amputated. There's a shit ton of other stuff, deaths, overdoses. I got shot by a cop, went to prison, all sorts of stuff. But I'm realizing that this whole arm thing is affecting me a lot more than I initially thought it would. When I was talking to the surgeon, they kind of talked to me a little bit about, you know, if you don't go through with this, you're probably going to be dead within like 2 to 3 weeks. And I still wasn't even sure if I wanted to go through with it, but I did. Now I'm kind of stuck in this like weird purgatory of like wanting to live, wanting to get my life back, but also not really knowing how to do it. The only thing that I've done that recently that kind of gives me any type of joy is kind of volunteering to speak at AA, NA meetings, recovery centers, things like that, just about my life story. So I was kind of thinking about maybe trying to turn that into a career, but I don't really know. Just kind of seeing what kind of ideas you might have.
Well, I mean, look, obviously, losing an arm sucks, but at least you have your other arm. Like, you can still do things, I guess not as much. Can you get a fake arm? And I'm not, like, killing yourself is not the answer. You would have died if you kept the arm. Like, you had to do it. It wasn't like you made one bad decision. You made bad decisions for years, and that's what crept up on you. So at least, you know what I mean? It happens, dude. You lost your arm. But to want to kill yourself over it is ludicrous, because you did that because you don't want to die.
I don't know. That's kind of the catch-22, I guess. So, you know, to fully understand the scope of everything, like, you know, the death, I was engaged at one point, woke up in the middle of the night to her body. When I was shot, I ended up being 4 years in prison because of that. So, like, I have a lot of other shit going against me as well.
Right.
So it's kind of like, I feel like human beings' natural instinct is to want to survive, right? So it's kind of like the logical side of my brain kind of having that conversation. Well, if you were to survive, like, it's nothing but pain from here on forward. So I don't really know, dude.
You spent 4 years in prison because your girlfriend died of an overdose from something that you bought?
No. The completely different situation. So she was an alcoholic. I found out a few months into our relationship. And I was a heroin user, like I mentioned. And we kept it separate. She would drink. I would use. We never really mixed. One night, we were just kind of partying. She was drinking. I was smoking heroin at that time before I started IV. And halfway through the night, I woke up. And she was blue in the face and checked her pulse and her breathing. And it was good. I went back to bed. And about an hour later, I woke up. And, I mean, she was stiff. She was cold.
Wait,
I tried
hold
giving
on.
Her CPR. She was, I know this is kind of a bummer, dude, but and then separately.
Wait, you went back to sleep? hold on. One thing. Wait, she was blue and you went back to sleep?
Well, yeah. So I checked her breathing and I checked her pulse and it was good. And I was a fucking heroin addict.
No, dude. I'm not even judging you. I'm amazed that I wish I was that good a sleeper. Like, I toss and turn. I toss and turn without a corpse in my bed.
Oh, God. Oh my God!
It's quite easy to fall asleep on heroin, but then
I'm sure. Yeah,
obviously,
yeah, of course. Oh my God! But
so that whole event kind of forced me to get clean. I went to treatment, completed treatment, shit like that. But then, you know, 6-7 months later, I started fucking around with a girl who started using, and I was still hanging out with her while she was using, and everything kind of fell apart again. And basically, we were living out of my car. She would shoplift shit to survive. I would sell it, and that's basically how we were getting by.
It's a mess.
She gets arrested.
Yeah.
So you were taking part
for sure.
In...
And then I got shot, basically, shoplifting.
Okay.
You were taking part in unarmed robberies?
Correct. Yeah, I did. I didn't have a weapon. I basically got pulled over at a traffic stop shortly after, and then some rogue cop decided to shoot me through my leg.
It was in your leg where you got shot.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Were you running away at the time?
Or
he just
a
shot
a little bit.
Low.
So they they stopped me while I was sitting at a red light, first in line. So, like, as he's at my open passenger side door, he's just, like, yelling at me. He already had his gun in his hand. Then the light turned green.
Yeah.
And I just fucking, I don't know, almost out of, like, muscle memory and just kind of, like, panic about going through withdrawal in jail again and everything like that, I started to make the turn. And he kind of jogged along the side of my car while the door was open, and then he fucking shot me.
Yep, that's what they call it. Yep, that's how they get you.
Yep. Well, look, man, we're ending our show, but I got it. I will say this. I would love to hear what Tony says. You have a reason to live. Carry your message. You know what I mean? You're alive. You beat the odds. You're lucky to be alive. If you were meant to be dead, you'd be dead. You're alive. So help other people. As much as it's depressed and it feels terrible because you lost your arm, and you've had a lot of loss, you're here. You're calling this show. So you do have something to offer people. I would suggest continuing to go out and spread the message, because your message people will listen to. You have a lot to say.
Cool. Yeah. Appreciate that.
No, it is true. And you know, what are your hobbies? Like, what do you do for fun? What brings you great joy?
Yes.
Well, like I said, I get fulfillment out of telling my story, but as far as like hobbies go, dude, like there's really not a whole lot I can do with one arm. I watch, I'm big into sports, football mostly, and then stand-up comedy.
What did you do? What was your favorite hobby before you lost your arm? What do you miss the most about having two arms?
Just being able to be active, you know, go play a pickup game somewhere if I wanted to. Even like, I've even gone to like this like bar arcade, forgetting that you can't really play video games with one arm. You know, just being active. But because of that, you know, it's mostly just kind of spectator sport type of shit now.
Have you tried playing basketball with one arm?
Well, see, it's not just the arm. My hand is also fucked up, my remaining hand. I hit the nerve at one point shooting up, and my pinky and ring finger are pretty much paralyzed. So, like I said, shit ton of issues.
You paid a heavy price, yeah.
I'm just trying to find a way to,
It's a shame, because they have that wheelchair basketball, but you can't really do that. There's like there needs to be like a reverse type of thing. Maybe soccer. Have you thought about soccer?
Yeah, what the fuck? Soccer, dude, is perfect for you.
Yeah. Put one hand in your pocket and you're gonna be great. Play some pickup soccer games.
Run a marathon, play soccer. All right, we got to let you go, sir. But I mean that. You're alive. You're meant to be alive. And you made it through all that nonsense. Now you have spread the message and help somebody else, okay?
Yeah. Help others. You're an army of one. Just give yourself a hand.
Oh, yeah. Appreciate that, guys.
Yes.
All right, man. Thank you for the call and really hang in there, okay?
All right. We'll do. Have a good one. All right.
God bless him. All right. Well, I appreciate everybody calling. Listen, Tony, this was great. I love hearing you talk like that. It's interesting to hear your backstory and all that stuff, and to hear your take on what
this
people
was a blast. I love this.
Yeah, I love having you, man.
It's what I love about Kill Tony. It's like kind of like meeting people, and you never know what you're gonna get. And hearing their story. This is so cool. I love what you're doing.
Thank you, man. And there's some funny ones and some weird ones, and then you get a guy like that, like with a real.
Well, I mean, that Requiem for a Dream has always stuck with me. That really pops out to people. I mean, the music and the tone and the woof, I didn't even know people did. I learned from that you can like lose an arm doing heroin. It was such a crazy climax that movie hits. That. Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Fucking and my favorite part of that movie is I'm thinking about a different movie. Okay, there's one where the girl shits in the toilet and she says to her boyfriend, "Do you want to clean me?" It was so perverted.
Imagine how hard you were.
I was so perverted. But I think that was the Michael Douglas movie. But listen, I need to come up with a catchphrase. I ask every guest. I'm really bad at catchphrases. I need a phrase or something for this show. And if you don't have one, you don't have one, because no one has had a good one yet. Cam fired out a couple that I can't use.
Wow, I wasn't expecting this.
I know, that's why I do it like that. And nobody has one.
Yeah.
It could be a theme, anything.
Let's go all in with your call in.
All in with your call in. Tony.
No phono.
No phono, I like that. And you're great, and I'm really happy for you, man. I mean that. And you're a good friend. I appreciate you're doing as well as you are, and you're always a good and loyal friend, and it's very appreciated.
Likewise, I have so much goddamn respect for you. You've always been one of my favorite comedians. I don't want to age you or anything. You know, I noticed that a lot of guys don't want to be called a legend and things like that. But let me tell you, man, and you even look the same as you always have, which makes it even more surreal. You know, Ron White looks like God now, and you know, Chappelle looks like a fucking buffed up action figure. But to get to work with you and hang with you and have this friendship and business relationship or whatever this is, be a co-comedian with you is a dream come true. So thank you.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. I really appreciate you. Yeah. Thank you, guys, and see you next week.
Thank you so much for calling my show. The episode's over, it's time to go. Good luck, stupid, good luck, stupid. I hope everything works out. Good luck, stupid, good luck, stupid. Don't blame me when it doesn't work out. Good luck, stupid, good luck, stupid. Don't blame me when it doesn't work out.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hey, I'm Dr. Z, and I'm a neurosurgeon. So that means long hours, early rounds, late nights, and everything in between. And through it all, I wear Figs. Because they're built for what I do. Through the chaos, through the hours, and through whatever the day throws at me, they do their job so I can do mine. They're comfortable when it counts, and functional when I need them the most. So where do you wear your Figs? On shift, on call, on the couch in the break room, listening to this podcast, wherever it is, they fit right in. And now listeners of this podcast can get 15% off their first order. Just head to wearfigs.com and use code FIGSRX at checkout. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX.